Welcome to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are a community of Christians that exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and influence the Delta for the glory of God. More information about Westminster can be found at www.wpcgreenwood.org.
For those of us who are staying in here this morning, we are in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, again continuing our series through the blessed life, going through the Beatitudes. And so let's pray, and we'll dive in. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we kind of transition here and our little ones go to little worship and we stay in here, Lord, we ask that wherever our heads have been so far, that right now, Lord, that you would focus us by your Spirit. Lord, for the next few moments, that what has to happen this next week or even this afternoon, it can wait. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our hearts about what does it mean to have the blessed life in Christ. So Lord, hide these words in our heart, and we ask this in Christ. Amen. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. This is God's word. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is God's word. You know, Jesus went out of his way to make sure that people knew that things work differently in his kingdom than they do kind of on earth, right? And since that's the case, his people who are citizens of his kingdom will also look different, right? We will look different from maybe those who are not. And at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus began laying out it really just the most practical of ways what it means, like what it looks like to live as a citizen of his kingdom. And this morning, Jesus, man, he gives us another doozy that it just doesn't make sense to the world as we know it. It's verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And by the way, you know, before we start, probably need to note that these first three Beatitudes really have a formulaic progression to them, meaning as we follow Jesus, the Spirit gives us a realistic look at ourselves, namely that we ain't all that, but we are beggars, that we live every day in need of God's grace. So we're poor in spirit, and we're those who mourn not only our own sins, but the effects of those sins. We talked about that last week. And today, Jesus is telling us that as those things are present in our life, then the Holy Spirit will also create a meekness in us. Again, to the outside world, this makes no sense, but to believers of God, this is wonder of wonders. Because Jesus is saying that God gives a giant promise, not to great people. I know God gives a giant promise for gentle people. Which is just our one and only point this morning. So just one point, God's promise to gentle people. You know, world conquest and possession of the whole universe being given to meek people sounds like a joke to our world. What was it? J. Paul Getty said, "The meek shall inherit the earth, but not its mineral rights." And so the people who occupy all the top spots in our world don't seem so meek, right? They're more like Elon Musk, Taylor Swift. They're the Rambo types, right, who grab life by the horns and they bend it to their will and they get what they want no matter what that means, even if that means leaving a wake of destruction in their path. So be it. You know, listen to almost any podcast today about leadership or successful people and you'll find that successful people are assertive and intentional and at times aggressive, ambitious, That's who gets noticed today. That's who gets platformed. That's who gets promoted. And so literally the last thing the average man wants to be known as is meek. You want to get somebody mad, call them meek. And yet 2,000 years ago, Jesus showed up and he said, the people who are truly blessed, the people who enjoy God's smile on their lives, those are the people who are actually meek. And so of all the Beatitudes, this one can be the most difficult to define and really to display. And of course, it's easy to misunderstand meekness because our modern definition of it doesn't seem to match Jesus' definition of meekness. And so like when we hear the word meek today, at least when I hear it, you know, I can't help but think of someone with no backbone, no convictions, no courage, no spirit, no drive, no guts. Right? It's someone who just kind of walks around life hunched over shoulders, insecure, and who's overly submissive. It's to be a mouse of a man or mouse of a woman that just gets run over, right? It's someone who doesn't want to rock the boat and who will make compromise after compromise just so everybody else can be happy. It's to be a total people-pleasing pushover. That's a meek person. Jerry Bridges once gave one of his entrepreneur friends some podcasts to listen to on the Beatitudes, and his friend said that he listened to every single one of them except this one. He just skipped the meek. He wanted nothing to do with meek. And Bridges said, like most Americans, his friend thought of a meek person as someone who is timid and easily dominated or intimidated. That he said its traits exemplified in the old cartoon character Casper Milktoast, who was a man who spoke softly and got hit with a big stick. Well, this misunderstanding may be one of the reasons many people think that being a Christian means being a really, really nice person, soft-spoken person. And whenever Christians aren't really, really nice, you know, people will say, you call yourself a Christian? You're a hypocrite. This is also maybe why there's this misunderstanding and why immature Christians or people who are younger in the faith can see mature Christians and confuse their meekness as weakness. But none of that is God's definition of meekness. In fact, in the Bible, there are only two people that this word is explicitly used to describe, and they are hardly Casper Milktoast. They are hardly wimps. It's Moses and Jesus. All right, so what does it mean to be meek then? Well, during Jesus' time and in the Greek language, meekness was used to describe someone who was gentle and at the same time strong. Meekness describes someone whose life is balanced, who is self-controlled. That's meekness, meaning that being meek is the balance between excessive anger and excessive apathy. Right, it's the balance between being too relaxed and being too tightly wound. And when the whole world says, the sky is falling, you better be afraid. In Christ, the meek are marked by deep trust in God's sovereign power. As Jerry Bridges put it, they know that in all of God's dealings with us, that God is wisely and graciously working all things for our good, which means the sky is never falling for a meek person. Far from being weak, their trust in God's promises make them as strong as a steel vault. So the meek also don't take themselves so serious because they have a biblical view of themselves, which means when adversity or hardship comes, the meek people don't say, how could this happen? I don't deserve this. Nor do they swing to the other extreme and say, God, I totally deserve this. I knew you were going to strike me down. And they don't say, God, this is just payback for what I did in college or last week. I deserve this. No, when adversity or hardship comes, meek people trustingly say with Job that, Lord, you give, Lord, you take away. Blessed be your name. It's to say nothing befalls me that isn't first sifted through the hands of my good and gracious Father. And so, Lord, you are giving me what I need. To a meek person, all of life is grace from God. And no matter what happens, they know, we know that in Christ, we're always better than we deserve. Can you imagine if you lived life like that? How powerful that would make you? And you know, it's one thing for us to pray, right? For us to admit to God that we are wretched sinners. Like you can say that about yourself, but it's another thing for someone else to call you a wretch. True meekness is seen in how we handle other people calling us wretched sinners. Again, it's easy to call ourselves out, but only the meek can get called out by other people and not get defensive. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, one of the greatest curses in life is sensitivity about self. He said, we spend the whole of our lives watching ourselves. We're looking in the mirror, but when we become meek, we're finished with all that. Like, we no longer worry about ourselves and what other people say. To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we see that there's nothing worth protecting there. In fact, someone else defends us who is a way better protector than we are. It's the beauty of self-forgetfulness. You know, meek people don't waste time throwing pity parties because by the power of the Spirit, they're over themselves. They're over themselves. Lloyd-Jones continued saying this. He said, the man who is truly meek is the one who is amazed that God and anyone else can think of them as well as they do. What does Spurgeon say? Y'all remember this quote. Spurgeon said, if anyone thinks ill of you, don't be angry with them. It's so easy to be angry. He says, don't be angry with them, for you are worse than they think you to be. That if you have your moral portrait painted and it is ugly, be satisfied, for it only needs a few blacker touches and it would be still nearer the truth. It's like, eh. So meekness is where the proper view of God's holiness and the proper view of who God calls us to be in Christ, where that meets, that's meekness. And that produces gospel peace. And by the way, though there are only two people explicitly called meek in the Bible, there are still tons of examples because every one of God's people, it just in some degree, exemplify meekness. Just think about Abraham. You know, meekness in action is when you can be empowered or you can empower other people to succeed and not be jealous of them. That you can actually champion people who get things that you don't get. You know, in meekness, Abraham allowed Lot, remember the younger man, to have the choice pick of the land. And Abraham did it without the first grumble. It's Moses. You know, Moses described himself literally as the most meek man on the face of the earth. He couldn't even talk that good, right? And yet God made him to be one of the greatest leaders the world's ever known. David. David was anointed to be king, but there was just one problem. Like, there was already a king, right? And several times David could have killed Saul and claimed his rightful place on the throne, but he didn't. He submitted himself to Saul's unjust treatment of him. Or what about Jeremiah? Man, it breaks my heart, right? Every other religious leader was tickling people's ears, telling the people what they wanted to hear, and everybody loved them, of course. But Jeremiah alone sought to speak the full truth to God's people. And people made fun of him. People talked about him behind his back. And yet despite all that, even with a broken heart, in meekness, Jeremiah remained faithful to preaching his very unpopular message. And then there's, you know, the first martyr of the church, Stephen, right? Stephen was a deacon in the early church. And while he was on trial, he didn't defend himself. But right before he was about to be killed, he preached one of the most Christ-exalting sermons of all time. It was all about Jesus. And of course, there's Mary, there's John, there's Paul, there's Timothy, and we could go on and on and on. But there's one person who absolutely is the perfect embodiment of meekness. It's Jesus, right? How do you respond when you don't get your way? How do you respond when it seems like God crosses, you've designed your life out perfect, and God kind of crosses through that? How do you respond? Well, in Gethsemane, remember Jesus cried out, God, take this away. God, surely there's another way than me going through all this. And then in meekness, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours, Father. I think it's safe to say that we all want to be God. And so when God crosses what we want, oh, it angers us. But in meekness in Christ is to say, we're not God. God, you're God. Have your way. So Jesus also, he deals so tenderly with his people. He said, as John read this morning, come to me, all you who labor and you're heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle. That word is meek and lowly in heart. You know, Isaiah even said that Jesus will deal so gently with his people that a bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. And so when you find yourself a bruised reed in life, please know that, you know, your church, your preacher may deal harshly with you, but Jesus deals gently with you, okay? You know, meek people are approachable. You know, Jesus is probably the most approachable person the world has ever known, and yet, in meekness, Jesus also rebuked the Pharisees' hard hearts. Jesus got angry with his disciples for not letting the children come. And in meekness, Jesus made a whip. You remember that? And Jesus, meek and mild, kicked over tables. And he ran money changers out of the temple. And in meekness, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And at the same time, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's gentle and approachable. And at the same time, he's like the apex predator. He's fierce. So much so that when Apostle John saw a vision of Jesus on the island of Patmos, John fell down before him as if he were dead. And in Revelation later, John pulled back the curtain and he told us what we're all going to see when Jesus returns to earth. It's Revelation 19. John said, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. And he's clothed in a robe, dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So in gentleness and power, Jesus is the very incarnation of meekness. You know, he's gentle enough that we can come to him for help. And at the same time, he is powerful enough to actually do something about it. So those who are meek know that we don't have to defend ourselves. No, because Jesus himself fights for us. Okay. Well, how do we get some of that? Well, as Puritan John Blanchard put it, meekness is a matter of grace, not genetics. You're not born, none of us are born meek. Maybe we're born weak, but none of us are born meek. Meekness is a matter of grace. He said, "Meekness is a gift from the Holy Spirit of those who are in Christ." So Judah, for his birthday, he keeps telling me that he wants to go to Miami to watch a Messi game, to watch Messi play soccer. And I just want to tell, because he doesn't know, that like those things are like a $1 million ticket. I don't even know what they are, right? But I want to tell Jude, I guess I'm telling him now, Jude, I am not made of money. what you're asking for is impossible, okay? You might as well ask if we can go to Mars. It would take Messi himself inviting us, and then Messi himself paying for us to get there, for us to do something like that. Okay. Well, it's staggering, isn't it? What's staggering about the blessed life is in Jesus, not only is it possible to have the blessed life, and not only does Jesus himself invite us, you know, to yoke ourselves to him, but Jesus also paid the price for us to come and be blessed. He paid the price on the cross. You know, back in the day, farmers, they would train young oxen by yoking them to older, experienced oxen. And that way, when the old ox stopped, the young ox stopped. And when the young old ox walked, the young ox walked. And over time, the young ox learned how to be an ox by being yoked to an ox. Well, in the same way, and I know this sounds super complicated, but friends, the best way for us to learn to be a Christian is by being yoked to Christ. We learn meekness and the rest of the blessed life in him. And I mean, just what an invitation that Jesus calls us, he invites us to be yoked to him, to learn from him. And yet, what's even better is God also gives those who are meek in Jesus this colossal promise, which is how we'll finish. Jesus promises that the meek shall inherit the earth, right? It's super important to note that the they there is emphatic, meaning it's the meek and only the meek who will inherit it. Okay, well, what is the it? Well, first, you know, this is a future promise. There's a promise of something in the future that we will inherit. It's a reminder that what we see right here and right now is not all that there is. That Christ is in the process right now of redeeming and redeeming the universe. And he's going to return and he's going to make the whole thing fully and perfectly new. It's going to be a brand new heaven, a brand new earth that will completely belong to God's people alone, a.k.a. the meek. And if you've ever longed or hoped for a huge inheritance from a family member, you ain't seen nothing yet. Romans 8 tells us that in the new heavens and the new earth that we're going to be fellow heirs with Christ. And then First Corinthians, Paul even said that one day those who are in Christ, the meek, are not only going to be in heaven, but we are going to judge the world. We're going to judge the angels. I mean, look, J. Paul Getty can keep his mineral rights, and we got something better. You talk about mind-blowing, right? If you are in Jesus one day, you, me, I know, the least likely of people will not only be, I just want to be in the outskirts of heaven. Can I just, get in? But we're not just going to be in, but we're going to be, ruling the new heavens and the new earth, and it won't lead to pride, but amazement of waking up every day amazed, because we'll know that it is only because of Christ that we are prince and princesses of God. And so this is a future promise of what we have coming, but for the meek and the meek only, it is also a present reality today. So this Martin Lloyd-Jones said, listen to this, a man or woman who is truly meek is one who is always satisfied, who is already content. In other words, of all people, the meek alone are actually empowered to enjoy life now, just for what it is. In Christ, we're not prisoners to just a little more, just a little bigger, just a little better. No, the meek not only trust that God will meet all their needs, but they also let God define what those needs are. It's the meek alone who can actually rest in who they are in Christ. And because of that, we're empowered to get off that hamster wheel of doing more and trying harder, and we can just fully enjoy sunsets and steaks and community and all the good graces of God today. So not only is this a colossal promise for the future, but it's also only the meek, those of us who are resting in Christ, who can truly enjoy the earth now. I mean, isn't the gospel such good news? It's good, y'all. Amen. Well, this is an invitation this morning to it. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for just the upside down nature of the kingdom. Because I want to think that, man, it is blessed are the ones who just go for it. But Lord, it's only the meek who can truly go for it. Lord, without being meek, I fear man. I fear what other people say, and we're so bound. But Lord, help us to have the beauty of self-forgetfulness, to be reminded of who we are in Jesus, and may that be the single defining factor in who we are. So Lord, we pray that out of meekness, you would cause this church body to go out into the world to be ambassadors for you. Lord, as we go to school, as we teach, as we coach, as we work as CPAs, as we plant crops, as we preach sermons, Lord, as we run businesses, whatever we do this week, Lord, may we do so in the gentleness and the strength of Jesus. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Hi, Richard Owens here. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for listening to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would use this message to encourage you in the gospel, and that you would find Jesus to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. If you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is, or more about our church, I invite you to visit our website at wpcgreenwood.org. God bless.